On Wednesday's front page, the Supreme Court scheduled an election season review of racial preference in college admissions. 10 years, 6,600 casualties, and a cost of $3 trillion. The U.S. has now gone through the longest period of war in its history. And Los Angeles Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa is looking to the future. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says the Supreme Court agreed to hear an affirmative action case. It involves a white student who was denied admission to the University of Texas. That holds the potential to undo a 2003 decision that amounted to an accommodation on affirmative action in higher education. The 2003 ruling said public colleges and universities could not use a point system to boost minority enrollment. But the 5-4 opinion said schools could take race into account in less specific ways. Also on Wednesday's front page, Times reporter Nicholas Confessori looks at the super donors behind the Republican nominating battle. They're giving big money to so-called super PACs, and some are spreading their money around. Texas executive Harold Simmons gave $100,000 to a super PAC that was backing Rick Perry. That was last June. In December, he wrote a $500,000 check to a super PAC supporting Newt Gingrich. He sent Gingrich another $500,000 in January, but he also sent $100,000 to the super PAC that's behind Mitt Romney. The U.S. has now gone through the longest period of war in its history. The conflicts in Iraq and Afghanistan have cost an estimated $3 trillion. Now, some policy analysts are worried Israel and Iran will blunder into a war that will inevitably involve the U.S. Some intelligence officials even say Iran might be willing to attempt plots on American soil. The U.S. apologized for burning Muslim holy books in a landfill at Bagram Air Base in Afghanistan. The White House echoed military officials in saying the burning of Qurans and other Islamic reading material had been an accident. But more than 2,000 Afghans protested the incident. Times reporter Alyssa Rubin tells us the protest began when Afghan workers leaving the base described seeing a dump truck loaded with books pull up to the landfill.
Already, it seems there were some books of Quran and holy texts which had been set on fire. And the protests outside, as people heard more and more about it, became more and more angry. They torched a little guard post that was right there at the front of the base. Tires were burned all along the road. And it was only with great effort, I think, on the part of Afghan authorities that they managed to control it without serious injuries to the people there. Afghanistan is an extremely pious country. There's a very strong respect for mullahs and for religion here. And this kind of event could set off an enormous reaction that could be dangerous for U.S. troops.
Times correspondent Alyssa Rubin. Well, that was close. Wednesday's Times says that's one way of looking at the latest aid package for Greece. European leaders approved it, heading off a potentially chaotic default that could have triggered a nightmare scenario in world markets not unlike the one in 2008. It remains to be seen whether disaster has been avoided or just delayed. The worry is policymakers don't have the right tools to deal with problems in Italy, Spain, Ireland, and Portugal. Los Angeles Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa appears to be trying to raise his profile after watching his popularity fade and taking a pounding in the recession. Last week, President Obama named him chairman of the Democratic National Convention. Villaraigosa's name is also back on the short list of next-generation Democrats who are waiting in the wings as party elders retire in California. Not everyone is behind him. Last week, a group of renegade city workers posted a message on Twitter asking how he could be advancing politically after such a disastrous term as mayor. Inside Wednesday's Times, Yemen went to the polls. The result was predetermined. There was only one candidate on the ballot. But that signals the formal end of autocratic rule. Vice President Abed Rabu Mansur Hadi will now replace President Ali Abdullah Saleh in a peaceful transfer of power. A Palestinian who fasted for 66 days to protest being detained without charges ended his hunger strike after Israel agreed to release him. Israel said it would free the detainee, who's a member of Islamic Jihad, if no new evidence is brought against him by mid-April. That heads off the possibility of widespread unrest that had been expected if he died. Internal emails show Johnson & Johnson knew about problems with an all-metal artificial hip a year before it recalled it. The emails show Johnson & Johnson knew the FDA had refused to approve the device in part because it failed prematurely in tests. That's at odds with what the company said publicly. Before the recall, Johnson & Johnson insisted it was safe. It also said its internal studies refuted complaints from surgeons and foreign regulators who said it was flawed. Shark fin soup is a Chinese banquet dish that's believed to bring good luck. But several state legislators here in New York are proposing banning it. They're following the lead of several Western states. Scientists estimate that up to 73 million sharks are killed annually to satisfy the appetite for shark fin soup. That's pushed many species to the brink of extinction. That's our preview of Wednesday's Times. From our newsroom in New York, I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.